Hey, what's going on? What's going on, everybody? This is the second episode of the 1999 Sports Talk. Hi, I'm Austin Evans, and we're coming fresh off the heels of the 2019 NBA Draft. All right, without further ado, let's get right into it. The Pelicans took Zion Williamson. I mean, no surprise there. Zion's going to be, he's going to be a multi-time All-Star. He's 6'7", 285 pounds. Dude comes in. He's already the second heaviest guy in the NBA. He's the second heaviest guy. He could jump high as anyone in the NBA. He has underrated passing ability, underrated defense. So, I mean, hey, Zion is going to make some noise, especially on that Pelicans team. You have Lonzo, Drew Holiday throwing up alleys to Zion, defending with Zion. Oh. Come on now. I'm a Timberwolves fan, but I don't know, man. Pelicans might just go up to that number two spot, man. I'm forever a Timberwolves fan, but Pelicans might go up to that number two. So I don't know, Zion went to the Pelicans. They're going to be a nice little front. You got Ja Morant go to the Grizzlies. After they traded Mike Conley, yesterday they traded him to Utah. And, clear-cut, Ja Morant, point guard from Murray State. Got a little De'Aaron Fox, a little bit of Russell Westbrook. Personally, he reminds me of Baron Davis, one of my favorite players of all time. Explosive point guard back in the early 2000s, made a couple All-Star teams. Baron Davis wasn't Russell Westbrook explosive, but he was a rugged, athletic point guard. And Ja Morant, he really reminds me of him. Ja Morant, he led the NCAA in assists with 10 a game. He averaged 20 and 10, the first person to do that, I believe, in the modern era, however long the modern era is in the NCAA. So, 20 and 10, come on now. He goes to the NBA, he's going to automatically be the best passer on the Grizzlies after they traded away Mike Conley. And Marc Gasol midseason last year. Marc Gasol is an underrated passer. Obviously, he's on the Raptors now. He's going to be a free agent. But back to Ja Morant. Yeah, he's going to be right there on the Grizzlies, the best passer, and maybe the best scorer automatically. So, great pick for them to fill that role in, especially after trading to get Kyle Korver and Jay Crowder from the Jazz. With the third pick. Third pick, the Knicks took R.J. Barrett. It was rumblings that they were thinking about taking Darius Garland, but of course, they obviously eventually took R.J. Barrett, who before the NCAA season even started, he was supposed to be the number one pick. He was supposed to be the number one guy in everything. He dropped two more picks to the third pick, so it's really not a big, huge drop, man. But to see him on the Knicks, him, Dennis Smith, all those guys, Kevin Knox, who they have, Mitchell Robinson. I mean, the Knicks, they might not make the playoffs, of course, but, they got a good foundation now. They're not just getting random guys from the street and try to make them work. They actually got a good foundation of young, explosive, talented guys. And the Knicks are a team to watch out for in maybe about 15 years. with the fourth pick, the Pelicans / the Lakers / the Hawks took DeAndre Hunter. And the reason why I said that is because it was originally the Lakers pick, then they traded it in the Anthony Davis trade to the Pelicans, then the Pelicans traded the pick to the Hawks. So DeAndre Hunter is going to the Hawks. Forward out of from Virginia, who people say is the best defender in the entire draft, which he's top three. But someone else is the best defender, and I'll get to that in one quick second. And DeAndre Hunter with the Hawks, he's a great 3-and-D guy. He doesn't have a specialty, so he's not, if you hope for him to be a superstar or something, this is all predictions. So I could be 100% wrong. But if you want him to be a superstar or something, you might be disappointed, But he's a solid guy. You're going to get out of him. You're going to get defense and three-point shooting. And, of course, you look around the league, every team has a point guard that can shoot, a center that can shoot, and most importantly, 3-and-D wing players. Kawhi Leonard, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Kevin Durant, you know, guys like that. Every team, you know, has that guy either starting or on the bench. You know, that might not be the caliber of those three guys I just named, but, you know, guys on the bench on, like, a Mo Harkless or something, you know. There's a lot of guys. So for him, for DeAndre Hunter, you know, that's a great comparison. Mo Harkless, you know, 3-and-D guy. He doesn't shoot the three as good as he used to at once upon a time. He wasn't a threat like he was at once upon a time, but he still is a solid defender, and he can still knock down the shots. DeAndre Hunter is he good? Is the exact same way. With the fifth pick, rounding out the top five, the Cavaliers took Darius Garland, the point guard from Vanderbilt. He only played 5 games. He had a torn meniscus in his knee, and with Darius Garland, I mean, the whole time they said he was supposed to go to the Cavs, which, I mean, everyone was obviously they were right. But I'm still wondering, because last year they took Colin Sexton with the 8th pick in the draft last year. The Cavs did. So now you took a point guard last year and you took a point guard this year. Both of those guys are 6'2". Both of them are point guards. Neither of them are great playmakers. That's the most important part. If you're going to get 2 point guards, at least have one be a nice playmaker. Or have both of them be a good playmaker, you know. But you got 2, you know, shooting heavy point guards, same height, but neither of the guys are there defensively yet. I think Colin Sexton, last year when he was going to the draft, he was more defensively ready than Darius Garland, so that's something you know, maybe give it a year or two, they could probably develop. But 2 point guards, both 6'2", both with the same strengths and same weaknesses, is kind of different. I don't want to put a label on it and just say, you know, they're doing something bad or whatever, they're doing something good. It's just kind of different. We'll see how that plays out. You know, but yeah, they took a big risk getting the same guy. You know, we'll see how it turns out. You know, who's going to play at the 2, who's going to develop into that playmaker, you know, which point guard. Would Darius be, you know, coming out of the draft, everyone said he was a great shooter and things like that. You know, he only had a 5-game sample, so, you know, his shooting percentage, will it go down back to earth, or is he a real good 3-point shooter? You know, we'll see. We'll have to see. So, yeah, there goes the top 5. Notable picks outside the top 5. One notable pick I like the Pelicans getting Jackson Hayes. Jackson Hayes is a live CD guy. The Pelicans. They got Jackson Hayes. He's a live CD guy, and the reason why I had to repeat that again is because him, Zion, and that front court, man, that's dangerous. Jackson, like I said again, he's a live CD guy. He's going to catch lobs. He has a great wingspan. He's a great, you know, blocker. He's a guy that. He doesn't have a jump shot yet, but he shoots over 70% from the free throw. And so, you know, since he does that, the free throw, it looks like he has potential to, you know, maybe get a jump shot. Not necessarily a 3-point shot, but a solid mid-range, you know, something reliable of that sort. It's kind of like LaMarcus Aldridge or something, where it's like, all right, the mid-range for sure, you know, he can knock it down maybe. You know, not as consistent as LaMarcus, but, you know, when he first got in the league, he was developing it. And maybe we could see Jackson Hayes do it. You know, but for him to go to that Pelicans team, him and Zion catching lobs from Lonzo and Drew Holiday, man, the Pelicans are going to be an exciting team. You know, Jackson is he's not going to probably start right away. He's a project. It's going to take him maybe a year or two. He's a big guy, big, you know, 6'11", 220. So, you know, he's a big lanky guy, which, you know, a lot of people tend to draft those guys and let them develop and things like that. So we'll see where that goes. With the 10th pick, the Hawks with the Mavericks pick from last year, and that whole Luka Doncic and Trae Young trade, the Hawks took Cameron Reddish. Before the season, you know, Cameron Reddish was maybe the 3rd or 4th best player in high school, and Honestly, he was supposed to go top three in the draft. You know, him, Zion wasn't even supposed to be in the top three. Obviously, that changed. But Cam Reddish, him and RJ Barrett were supposed to be the top two players and things like that. And but then as the season went on, with all three guys at Duke, you know, he kind of, Cameron Reddish kind of like became a third wheel and kind of faded off. And, you know, his shooting percentages were not on par with the expectations that he was given. I mean, he shot 35% from the field, 33% from threes, 77% from the free throw. Not bad. But I don't think it's a big risk as people are trying to make it out to be. You know, people are saying he could either be a Ben McLemore or he could be a Paul George. You know, that's two different sides of a spectrum. I think Cameron Reddish would be a solid player, especially on the Hawks. They're growing a young team with Trae Young, Kevin Huerter, two great shooters at the point and at the two. You know, you bring in Cam Reddish, you can play the three and the two. He could also look like he might also play some four as well. But they got John Collins, you know, who's a great talent at the four. So, I mean, maybe when he goes on the bench, they could try something to put Cam at the four to make sure they have, you know, some more younger guys come in. Because they in this draft, they did get a lot of wing players. And so, again, 3 and D, you know. Don't forget they drafted DeAndre Hunter at the top, at the four, at number four. So, you know, you can have them two in at the same time. Cameron Reddish, he's very underrated at defense. He averaged 1.6 steals a game this year. And so, you know, you have those two with, you know, they might do a lineup with maybe, you know, Cam Reddish, DeAndre Hunter, you know, two great defenders. And on the college level to come to the NBA, there'll still be some solid defenders. You have Trae Young and you know, my guy Kevin Huerter at the point in the two. So maybe they could do a lineup where it's all four of them, and then maybe have John Collins at the five or whoever they're trying to get free agent-wise, or maybe they resign Alex Lynn or, you know, Dewayne Dedmon. But you do a lineup like that, you know, two, you know, Kevin Huerter and Trae Young at the two and at the one, and then you bring DeAndre Hunter and Cam Reddish at the three, at the four. I'm not saying this could be the starting lineup, but this would be a nice little lineup they'd like to have. You know, you got the shooters at the backcourt. You got the defenders at the front court. That would be a little nice, honestly. You know, another pick. The Pistons took Sekou Doumbouya, Doumbouya, whatever. You know, he's the youngest guy coming in the draft. He doesn't turn 19 until December 23rd. So he's by far the youngest guy in this draft, you know, and he played overseas. He's French. I mean, he's a great kid. He's a great kid. You look at his game. There's not a lot of things that are just like negative about his game. You know, he drew some Draymond Green's comparisons, Pascal Siakam. I mean, he's a nice shooter. He's not there yet as a jump shooter, but he's a nice, you know, he's not afraid to take shots, and that's good. You know, if you can't shoot, the last thing you want to do is not shoot. If you can't shoot, you know, at least shoot to, you know, to give people something they can see so they can fix it and things like that. And he's not shy as a shooter. He's a nice playmaker, especially as a four, maybe a small four. You know, he's 6'9", 230. So he's a pretty solid build to be able to play the three or the four, especially in this type of NBA where it's positionless. He could bring the ball up court sometimes, you know, which is very good. So so to see him go to the Pistons, that's gonna be nice. They already have a guy like that in Blake Griffin, who's an underrated passer. Blake Griffin's probably the best passing big man in the NBA right now. Him and Draymond probably going, you know, probably 1 and 2. You know, Blake Griffin will teach Sekou Doumbouya a lot about being a big man, just passing. So I really do like that. I like that pick. Moving down, Matisse Thybulle. He was drafted 20th from Washington, senior from Washington. He's going to be a 76er. And I like him a lot because he won a defensive player of the year. He averaged, you know, 3 blocks, 2 steals a game as a small forward. 3 blocks, 2 steals a game. And people were question his defense, saying, oh, he only plays in the zone. He averaged 3 blocks and 2 steals. That's 3 blocks. I mean, come on now. Really? You know, he's the first person ever to get 50 blocks and 100 steals in a season. Like, come on now. You just want to – he's not a good defender. He plays his own. That doesn't matter. I mean, you know. So, then him go to a team like the 76ers, who's already a nice defensive team. You know, Jimmy Butler. Maybe they re-sign him. Maybe they not. Maybe they won't. You know, Ben Simmons. He's a great defensive point guard. He's 6'10", got a lot of height on a lot of different other point guards. So you add in Matisse in there. You know, he's not going to be a starter right away, but he's going to be a solid guy coming off the bench. You know, he can maybe be that Tony Allen impact where it's, hey, you know, we need you to go out there. We need you to guard, you know, the best player on the other team or, you know, one of those, you know, a Klay Thompson type of player who's, you know, who could catch fire. You got to go out there and guard him and, hey, the dude averaged 3 steals and 2 blocks. I don't know how many times I keep on saying it. It's just crazy. It's crazy, man. 3 steals and 2 blocks. That's crazy, man. That's crazy. It really is. And so to see him on the 76ers, they're going to be a nice defensive team. I like defenders. I like defenders a lot because the thing with defenders, you necessarily don't have to pay them as much as a good two-way player, meaning like – you know, Tony Allen is a phenomenal defender. He was a phenomenal defender before he retired. But the being that he's a phenomenal defender and he doesn't really, like, make a big impact on the offensive end, you could offer all your money for him as a defender. You know, you don't have to pay him $20 million to be a good defender. No, you give him a good $8 million, $9 million. That's why you see a lot of these defenders, you know, move team to team to team to team because, you know, they're people are able to give them for a bargain, give them, you know, a little bit of the market or something because they're phenomenal defenders. And that's good because you're getting a guy for a small bit of change or something. In return, you're getting a guy who's able to go out there and guard a LeBron, guard a, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo, guard a Kawhi Leonard, you know, guard a Kevin Durant. Go out there and guard those guys. You know, I'm not saying Matisse is going to be that guy, but, you know, I mean, he plays the same position. He's a small forward. He's 6'5", 200. You know, maybe he won't be able to affect those type of guys, but, you know, guarding the two guards or guarding, you know, these, you know, excellent ball handlers and things like that, I see it. 23rd pick. The Grizzlies took Darius Bazley, who he's going to the Where is he going to? The Thunder. Yeah, Thunder, that's correct. The Thunder, Darius Bazley. Darius Bazley, one of the most interesting journeys to get to the NBA. Last year, he was in high school. And he was supposed to go to college this past year and everything, but instead he skipped. And originally his plan was to go to the G League and develop there for a year and then go to the NBA draft. But then he skipped that as well, and he ended up doing an internship at New Balance. Yes, he ended up doing an internship at New Balance. So he ended up doing a 3-month internship at New Balance worth $1 million. So the dude got paid a lot for 3 months. You know, he's able to see, you know, how it is to be a businessman. He's getting endorsed by New Balance. He just did a 3-month internship there. He got paid there. He was drafted. And, you know, I really interested with his route. He's a guy just like Sekou Doumbouya. Another guy, or Doumbouya, I have to say his name. I give up. I'm not finna go back and forth, you know. Darius Bazley, he's just like Sekou. Let's go. Let's call him that. Sekou. He's 6'9", 200 pounds, tall, kind of skinny guy, but he does everything on the floor. He shoots. He's able to get the ball in transition, push it ahead. He's able to finish over a lot of guys. You know, he has great handles for someone his position. You know, I'm not saying he has Jamal Crawford handles or anything like that, but for his position, for someone of his caliber, he has great handles. Moving down. the Trailblazers with the 25th pick took Nasir Little, who was supposed to be, you know, before the season started, they did a top five, and Nasir Little was supposed to be in the top five, but he didn't start a single game in college at North Carolina. So he dropped all the way down to 25th to the Trailblazers. And I don't see why people are so surprised by that. North Carolina is a great school. Don't get me wrong. North Carolina is a great school. It really is. But they do not know how to use their freshmen. You know, every year, every couple years, you know, they get freshmen. And that tells you something right there. Every couple years, because, you know, freshmen, they're starting to realize it, that hey, you go to North Carolina, it's not a one and done. You know, you go to North Carolina, you're there 2 years, 3 years, you know, sometimes 4 years. And that ended up, you know, turning off some scouts, because NBA, they always look for the younger guys because they're able to develop, and they still, you know, they're able to develop them into their training and things like that. And so, you know, he didn't get a lot of playing time. He averaged only 18 minutes a game, a little under 10 points a game, you know, but he did get 4 boards in that time, you know. So, I mean, he's a talented kid. You know, I really didn't look at a lot of his highlights, because every North Carolina game, all those people look alike, all the players look alike. They're all 6'7", black dudes with some twisty hair. Every single one of them, except for Cameron Johnson and Kobe White, and that's because they're light skinned. But everyone else 6'7", dark skinned, with some twisty hair. So I didn't know who was who. My bad. I'm sorry. I didn't know who was who. I'm sorry. But, you know, he's a nice guy. He's a nice kid. He's going to bring a lot to the Trailblazers. Mo Harkless, again, you know, will be a nice comparison for him. Mo Harkless. I mean, he's a better shooter than Mark Harkless, I would say. But at the same time, you know, who knows? We'll see. And you know, Those were really just the picks that I was looking at in the first round, picks that caught my eye and things like that. I mean, of course, you know, that's not the only pick. It's the entire draft. In the second round, Bol Bol, the son of the late Manute Bol, was able to go to the Heat. Drafted the Heat with the 44th pick, and but he's going to be a Denver Nugget. And I love that he's going to be a Denver Nugget. The Nuggets are, you know, they coming off a season where they were the top two seed in the entire conference. And, you know, they didn't even play Michael Porter. In case y'all forgot, Michael Porter 2 years ago was supposed to be, you know, the number one pick in last year's draft. But he only played a couple games in college because he had a big spinal back injury, and you know, he missed most of his college career, and he missed his whole rookie year last year. And so he's going to be a rookie here. For them to still have him come back healthy, for them to get Bol Bol, who's 7'2". If you're talking about a demigod, this is a demigod, man. This dude is 7'2". He only played 9 games last year. It's a big reason why he fell. He only played 9 games, and his medicals really aren't that good, according to reports. But he's 7'2", so he's automatically a nice blocker. You know, he's averaging 2.7 blocks a game. The dude could go out there and shoot threes. When I tell you he can shoot, the dude could shoot threes. He's one of the most exciting, has one of the most exciting, exhilarating, whatever adjective you want to put on it, highlight reels you can ever watch. Dude is 7'2". He's hitting step back threes like he's Steph Curry. I'm telling you, step back threes like he's Steph Curry. Dude is 7'2", averaging 2.7 blocks, shooting over 50% from threes. Only in 9 games. I know. But he's shooting 50% in 9 games, higher than Darius Garland, who was in 4 games, and he only shot 40%. So, I mean, hey. You know, Bol Bol is going to be a phenomenal guy for the Nuggets. They don't have to rush him, just like they didn't have to rush Michael Porter last year. Just like 2 or 3 years ago when they drafted Nikola Jokic, their all-star, all-NBA center, who actually stayed 1 year after he was drafted by the Nuggets. He stayed 1 year overseas. So the Nuggets, they're kind of like the 76ers a couple years ago when they drafted Ben Simmons and kept him out of year. They drafted Nerlens Noel a couple years before they drafted Ben Simmons, kept him out of year, and they drafted Joel Embiid right between those two, and he was out his first 2 years. And you know, that reminds me of the Nuggets. The Nuggets, man, that's a lot of similarities between the two, except for the Nuggets are winning right now, and they're just adding pieces to the future to these guys, you know. So the Nuggets, I like what they're doing. I like that they drafted Bobo. That was great. And you know, give this team is going to be running the West. They're going to be running the West next year, this year, the year after next, the year after that, for the next 5 to 6 years, man. This team, 7 years even, this team is going to be running the West. Trust me. You know, trust me. They're going to be running the West without a doubt. And really, that's really all about the draft. You know, if you want to know the exact picks, you can go to ESPN, NBA.com, Wikipedia, anything you like, man. It was a crazy draft. I mean, teams are still being, you know, players are still being drafted and still being traded. I mean, excuse me, the draft is over. The people are still getting traded and things. And so, you know, it's really a lot. But, man, it was a very, very exciting draft. It was supposed to be top heavy, but there's a lot of gems, you know, in the later picks. You know, like I said, you got guys like Kobe White went number 6. You also got guys like Bol Bol went all the way to the second round. You got Matisse Thybulle, who went the 23rd. You know, so it's a lot of guys. But I'm really excited about this draft. Can't wait to play with them on 2K. At Lil Cricket, LilKryct, just in case. Y'all want that work on 2K, hit me up. Xbox One, I don't do the PS4. Nope, I'm not finna get hacked. All right, another news coming out of the NBA this weekend. Of course, the big news, Anthony Davis, Pelicans All-Star, All-NBA Center, has been traded to the Los Angeles Lakers for Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, the number 4 pick in tonight's draft, which obviously just happened, a 2021 top 8 protected pick, the swap for the 2023 first round pick, an unprotected 2024 first round pick, and a swap for the 2025 first round pick. All right, so I'm going to basically explain to y'all what each team is getting out of this. For the Lakers, I mean, obviously they're getting Anthony Davis, all-around center, all-around player, you know, all NBA, superstar. You know, he's one of the only franchise players in the NBA. They're getting the guy they wanted after he asked for a trade this past midseason from the Pelicans, presumably to the Lakers. Apparently he told them that he was not going to re-sign with them this upcoming offseason in 2020. And that he was going to sign with the Lakers. So, hey, you know, trade him to the Lakers and get that shit out the way. But the Pelicans got some things in return. You know, they got Lonzo Ball, who's only been in the league for 2 years. He kind of struggled with his shot, struggled with health. But he's one of the best passing pure point guards in the league. And he's only been in the league for 2 years. So they get a guy like him. Again, like I said earlier, he's going to throw it up to Zion, throw it up to Jackson Hayes. And that's going to be phenomenal to see. Brandon Ingram, who this past season, the second half came along pretty strongly. Eventually, he missed most of the second half of the season because he had blood clots. And I really do hope that he passes his physical. That's something that's a big deal, especially with Chris Bosh's whole blood clot situation a couple years ago. The NBA would be very, very precautious about Brandon Ingram. So I wonder how his physical will go. I hope he passes it. I hope the trade goes through officially. Because everyone has to pass their physicals and everything. They also get Josh Hart, nice 3-and-D player. He'll be the 2, more than likely come off the bench behind Jrue Holiday. Probably put him at the point sometimes behind Lonzo Ball. So that's going to be pretty nice to see. They get the 4th pick. Terry's ref, which they eventually traded to Atlanta. A 2021 protected pick. If not, then it becomes a 2022 unprotected pick. And for those who don't understand protections on picks, protections are basically like insurance on picks. So, like, basically, okay, like this year, they traded the 2021. They acquired that pick from the Lakers, but it's top eight protected. So basically what that means is that if the Lakers finish in the top eight in this upcoming year's draft, 2021 actually, my bad, that's on me, baby, my fault, the 2021 draft, if the Lakers finish top eight in the 2021 draft, then they will keep the pick, and then it becomes a 2022 first round pick, and then that pick will go to the Pelicans. But if the Lakers fall out of the top eight of the 2021 NBA draft, then the Pelicans keep that pick, basically. That's exactly how that works. The swap for the 2023 pick from the Lakers basically just means, simply, just the Pelicans, if they finish with a better record than the Lakers, then they could swap picks with them. You know, if the Lakers finish with a better record than the Pelicans, and the Pelicans get to keep their pick. So, Pelicans basically won this trade. AD is a phenomenal player, don't get me wrong. But this is the Lakers gave up a lot for a guy that was going to come here next offseason anyway. You know, I know they, you know, they had the whole Kawhi Leonard mentality of, hey, you know, maybe he goes somewhere else and fall in love with that place. But still, man, that's a lot to give up for a guy who you could have just waited one more year to get. But I do understand, you know, LeBron is going to his 17th season, you know. I mean, LeBron's LeBron. He's not going to fall off a big cliff, but, you know, he's older. So, you know, hey, watch out for that. But they do have someone like Anthony Davis now for the next couple of years. They gave up their future for him. That's something I'm really kind of iffy about. I would have put Kyle Kuzma in that deal because Kyle Kuzma really doesn't have, you know, the potential as the guys that were traded, because Kyle Kuzma was older. It's only his second season this now, but he came into the league when he was 21. So he's 23, 24-ish, I believe. And, you know, the reason why, like I said earlier, the reason why people like to trade these guys, like to get these guys younger when they're in the draft, is because they're able to develop, their body isn't all the way complete, you know. Kyle Kuzma, what you see is what you're going to get. You know, he's not necessarily going to get better. Maybe he will, but not necessarily, more than likely. He's not going to get better. He's already developed body-wise, game-wise, and everything. And the reason why I thought they should have put him into the trade, even though he is the most productive Laker, the reason why I thought they should have put him in the trade to the Pelicans was because, you know, like I said, you know, he's an older guy. You keep Lonzo, you keep Brandon Ingram, you know, one of the two. You know, both of the guys, you know, they don't have the production of Kyle Kuzma. But 4, 5, 6 years from now, you know, what if the Lakers aren't in the playoffs? You know, when LeBron retires, he has, 3 years left on his deal? He might sign another one-year deal after that. So you have LeBron for maybe the next 3 or 4 years. So after that, LeBron's gone. And you're stuck there with Anthony Davis. So now it's like, hey, you know, we just seen Anthony Davis in New Orleans. He was able to get that team to the playoffs just twice, you know. It's not necessarily his fault, but it was led by him. So we've seen an Anthony Davis-led team, you know, go to the playoffs twice. So now he's on the Lakers, you know. Now will he send them to the playoffs 3 years from now? You know, will these first-round picks that they just traded, will those become nothing? You know, what if they don't make the playoffs? Then they don't get any incentives for that because they just traded those picks to New Orleans, so... It's a pretty risky trade. Pretty risky trade. They're taking all the gambling and thinking that they're going to go out there and get another free agent. You know, a Kemba Walker, a Jimmy Butler, or Kawhi Leonard of some sort. You know, I honestly think Jimmy Butler seems like the most likely out of all three of those guys I just named. You know, but if I were the Lakers, I'll try to go out there and get a Danny Green, get a Patrick Beverley, get guys, you know, not necessarily superstars right now, but get guys to fill out the team. You know, they need guys that can shoot. You know, that's something that they struggled with this past season. So they need to go out there and get guys that can shoot. You got Danny Green. You got J.J. Redick. You got guys out there who's knockdown shooters. You know, they need to go out there and try to get at those guys. I know they want the superstars of the Lakers. They're trying to get these big superstars. But trust me, man, go out there and get these guys on a premium contract. Give 12, 13 million to Danny Green, J.J. Redick. And you still have 17 left. Go out there and get Derrick Rose, you know. You don't have to go out here and get the big fish all the time. So, there you go. That's something they could look at. I'm really, really excited to see the Lakers, see who they're going to get, to see them this upcoming season. And that's going to be great, man. All right, and this will conclude the second episode of the 1999 Sports Talk. I'd like to say thank you, everyone. I had 10 views my first episode. 10 views. I know what y'all saying. Oh, 10 views. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, you ain't getting no views. Listen, 10 views got me 10 cents. Yes, sir. I get paid to do this. I got paid 10 cents for 10 views. So y'all keep on viewing. Y'all keep on watching. Hopefully, we get that 10 to 20. I get 20 cents. We get that 20 to 25 views, and I get 25 cents. Your boy is going to make it. I'm going to get a quarter, baby. Let's go. But appreciate it, man. Thank you, everyone, for watching. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Next episode coming up pretty soon. I'll let everyone know. Y'all got me on social media, at Lil Cricket, LilKryCit, on Instagram, on Snapchat. Add me if you don't already have me. Follow me if you don't already follow me. 1999 Sports Talk is also on Instagram. The website is available on Instagram in my bio. So click on the link on the website. It'll send you here. You can listen to it on Spotify. You can listen to it on Apple Podcasts. You can listen to it on this app right here, Anchor. Feel free to comment. Send me voicemails. Send me suggestions. I'm always up for suggestions. Feel free to review it on the 5-star scale. Do anything you want, man. This is for y'all, man. This is for y'all. I'm a huge sports fanatic, if you don't already know. So I'm very, 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 very excited about this. And hopefully this can go far. And, I get some guests on here eventually. But, this is the first couple of episodes and things like that. So we're starting off pretty good. Starting off pretty good. We're on a premium budget, But hopefully in the future we get some guests up here. We get some people up here. We get this thing going. Hopefully I reach a deal on TV or something. Who knows? I really do appreciate everyone for listening to it, tuning in. And until next time, I'm Austin Devins. This is 99 Sports Talk. Good night.